You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always.
Always.
Use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. It is Monday. Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of Chair Shot Radio here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. Part one of your double dose of Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar, though this week, only a single dose of Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar, because Dave, you're going to finally get my spider bot.
Yes.
Thanks.
I am on assignment this week to give our, we will be talking, I guess, Avengers Campus for real next week on Bandwagon Nerds.
Which I'm really sad to miss, because I'm going to miss that show while you talk about Avengers Campus, because I have company in town and they are staying with us. And full disclosure, the recording studio in the Adad household is the guest bedroom. So no Patrick O'Dowd for next week's edition.
Well, I'm sure.
So you got me this week.
I'm sure me and PC Tunney and Ray and maybe Platt can hold it together. But I'm gonna miss the Loki conversation, the season finale. You guys are gonna be talking about that tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Or today, depending on your perspective, on your kayfabe point of view.
Kayfabe Monday, as Dave has pulled back the curtain. Of course, yeah, we don't record these on Mondays. We wrapped up the hockey season, and then, of course, right after the hockey season ends, our two teams were rumored to be involved in a trade. The Vladimir Tarasenko era in St. Louis is coming to an end. He wants out. But we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about hockey. We have put away the hockey music, we have put away the hockey sound bites, and we are starting a new segment that Dave, right before the show, you named Musical Chairs, and this is your brainchild. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to let you describe it in a quick second. We're going to take our first commercial break, though, before we get to that. You're listening to Bandwagon, or not Bandwagon Nerds. Oh, shit. You're listening to Chair Shot Radio on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back. So like I said before we went into the commercial break, we are going to start until the NHL season kicks up again next fall, and hopefully it's not 20 months long. Hopefully not a 20-month long season. We're going to talk a different passion, one we don't get a chance to talk about on the bandwagon, that's music. And Dave, you had the idea of a new segment and something for us to do as we kind of while away the off season until the NHL kicks up again. So I'm going to hand the reins to Dave to introduce the segment, and then we'll get rolling with a new leaf. We're turning over a new leaf on our Chair Shot Radio.
Yep. We're going to enter the realm of music, which is something, it's not just Patrick and I are passionate about it, just about anybody in the Bandwagon Nerds chat. You know, one day we got to like get a Patreon and give people access to the Bandwagon Nerds chat, because Chris Platt has some priceless stuff. For the right price, we'll let you in so you can read his stuff. But anyway, all of us in the Bandwagon Nerds chat are very passionate about music. We've all got opinions. We did, I know on Bandwagon Nerds, one of the shows, it was me and you and DP, who did our top 10 musical acts bands of all time. And that was a really,
that was the Jim Ryan interview from Forbes.
Right. Right. And that was a really good show and a great list. And, you know, I just got the idea when we were talking about all this stuff that, hey, you know, since hockey's gone, why don't we do something where, you know, every week we'll come on, Pat will pick a band at random. I won't know who it is. We've agreed not to tell each other in advance, although this week we kind of guessed who it would be. And he'll talk about that band for 15 minutes, you know, hit some highlights of their career, talk about songs, talk about anything that you really want about the band. And then I'll do the same on the back half. And we're going to call this Musical Chairs because it's a rotating deal. You know, it's kind of like anybody who watched the old game show and how they did that, or seen anybody play Musical Chairs, you know how it works. So it's kind of like that. You know, we're going to rotate bands and talk about stuff kind of randomly and get into things. So yeah, that's the concept. We love music. It's a topic that I know we've talked a lot about behind the scenes, about getting more of that on the chairshot.com, a bigger presence on the music industry, since it's something that is almost universally loved, even if your style of music that you prefer is different from the person to person. But anyway, that's the general concept I came up with. It beats talking about baseball when your team gives up a record number of runs, you know, and I thought it was I thought it was a football score. Jesus, what is this?
Yeah, sorry to hear that, man. So awesome. What kind of direction do you want me to take with this? Do you just want me to lay it out and talk about the band? Like what are you looking for?
I think it should be anything you want to do. And I mean, I know this first band that we're gonna talk about, there are not going to be big surprises as to who Patrick and I are choosing. We each went with our favorite band. That shouldn't come as a surprise. But why don't you introduce your band, and just we can see where it takes us, man. Fly by the seat of our pants.
Absolutely. Know? All right. So like Dave, like you mentioned, my favorite band of all time is Queen. And if you've listened to Bandwagon Nerds, anybody who knows anything about me knows this. I just love this band. And in fact, before the show today, I had time. I had to mow the old lawn, right? And I brought up Apple Music now, I guess, it's not iTunes anymore, and played their 1986 Live at Wembley album that is a recording of them at Wembley Stadium about a year after their famous Live Aid performance. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Just to kind of get myself in the right frame of mind. And I fell in love with this band in the 90s because of the movie Wayne's World. I think I've told this story many, many times, where not so much it's the role of the song Bohemian Rhapsody in the movie as it was the music video that incorporated footage from Wayne's World that got replay on MTV and VH1 back in the day when those two stations still showed music videos on the regular. That was on repeat, and I loved it because, you know, Wayne's World, like the characters and the cast, you know, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey are acting fun. They're mouthing the lyrics. And of course, the big instrumental bridge in the middle of this ridiculously over the top song. And you hear the song and you're hearing these vocals and just this wave of sound and style that was operatic, and it was rock. It was a little metal for the time. It was amazing. And it blew me away. And I remember asking my dad, like, who's this guy at the piano? And like, why is, like, what's up? And dad's like, oh, that's Freddie Mercury. And he's, you know, he's very unique and special. And I was like, this guy's amazing. These guys are great. And he's like, yeah, well, he's dead. And I was like, well, that's terrible. Cause I didn't even know he was dead at the time. And he was like, but my father showed me his old LPs, and he had a collection of Queen music from the 70s. He had Night at the Opera, Day at the Races, News of the World, the three big ones from that time, and all just hit after hit before he fell off into his land of more classic rock sounding like REO Speedwagon, Kiss, and those sorts of light. I had a turntable in my room, and I wore out Night at the Opera and News of the World in particular. Day at the Races, not so much, though it was a fine album. And from there, it's just I wanted to explore and listen to anything and everything I could by this band, even what I would say is one of the worst albums of all time, Hot Space. And if you ever want an assault on the ears, listen to the song Body Language by Queen. It's terrible. And even the goats make bad music from time to time. And that song in particular, that whole album is bad. Its only redeeming thing is that it has Under Pressure on it with Queen and David Bowie. Like, that's it. Everything else about that album is not good. But I explored their whole catalog. I have just about everything digital now. There's a couple I still don't have. The posthumous album that they released, Made in Heaven, is just remarkable and is very, very emotional, and is tracks that they never released that they were able to bring back. And it's Freddie's voice one last time. I've seen them live in concert twice with Adam Lambert, not Freddie Mercury. They don't try to replicate Freddie. Adam Lambert doesn't try to be Freddie. And yeah, it's not the same. It's still a hell of a show. Brian May is, I would put up there as good as any guitarist that you can find in the world. Plus, he's got a PhD in astrophysics. Where else can you find that? Before I let you react, there's a couple other things that I want to point out. Freddie Mercury, in my opinion, for my money, is the greatest frontman of all time. And, you know, and yes, I know it's biased. He is my GOAT. However, I challenge anybody to go onto YouTube and look at the Queen performance 1985 Live Aid. And in particular, pay attention to the segment of that 20-minute set where they do the song Radio Gaga. And it is immediately followed with Freddie doing a call and response singing with 72,000 people. And during Radio Gaga, 72,000 people clapping in perfect sync. And it's an image of him standing on the stage. It's a beautiful camera shot over his back. And you can just see the entire audience, because it's hands over your head, doing this double clap. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. I've never seen anything like it. And I can't imagine what that was like live. And then to follow that up with this call and response, the crowd just ate it up to death. Musically, they were all four of the original members were brilliant. Even the bass player, John Deacon, who didn't write as many songs, he has their most popular hit in America. Another One Bites the Dust was written by John Deacon, which doesn't surprise you when you listen to that bass line. Like, there's a reason that bass line is special. And what people don't know about that song is people always think that there are synthesizers involved in that. Nope, they didn't use synthesizers. They were so good with creating sound and unique sounds and just pushing their own envelope. And to start with like this, they started as this very much a prog rock, classic rock in the vein of like Led Zeppelin. If you go listen to the song, The Prophet's Song on Night at the Opera, it's a 9-minute opus to the feel of like a Stairway to Heaven, to in the early 80s playing music that you would hear in the clubs, to anthem rock like We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions, to kind of taking a little bit of a softer and going a little more electric and a little more synth towards the end of the 80s, right up until Freddie, like they were recording until Freddie died in 91. And that last album, A Miracle, he was in such bad shape, not an album, while literally dying, and sometimes could only record for 20 to 30 minutes at a time before he had to call it a day. It was amazing. It was phenomenal. I love them. When I hear Freddie sing Love of My Life, I still choke up. They're my favorite band, and I hope that Brian May and Roger Taylor are still alive long enough to come back to the States one more time to do another tour, because I want to see them at least one more time. Every time they're on stateside, I want to see them.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to add a lot to that from my standpoint. My first introduction to Queen was, I think News of the World had come out, and I distinctly remember getting the album Queen Live Killers, which is one of the best live albums that I ever had. Sure. And the actual version of Love of My Life that I prefer over all of them is on Live Killers. I love that version. I distinctly remember during when the United States hockey team won the gold medal, playing We Are the Champions, blasting it through the house. And that song, of course, has become synonymous with teams winning the championship, including like the Washington Capitals in 2018. So that was a big moment. But yeah, Queen I would say Brian May, Roger Taylor, John Deacon are probably really underrated as musicians, simply because Freddie is such a powerful front man and such a powerful figure. And one of, if not the best singers of all time, is Freddie Mercury. I tend to agree with you that as far as front men, he's number one, or at least in the discussion for number one, no doubt about that. The performance at Live Aid was and still is the greatest live performance that I've ever seen. And it's interesting from my perspective in 1985, you know, I was 17 years old. We were genuinely more excited. I mean, Queen was like not on a radar so much. And I think it's important to note that the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, I like the movie a lot. It's historically and woefully inaccurate. But Rami's performance was tremendous. He deserved it.
It was phenomenal.
Huh?
It was very good.
Yeah. I mean, I know you don't dig the movie because of the historical inaccuracy. And it's important to note that Queen hadn't been apart for 3 years before they took the stage in Wembley. They had been recording and touring regularly. So the fact that they came on there and put out that kind of performance isn't really shocking. But from our standpoint, we were genuinely more excited about Led Zeppelin reuniting for the first time since really John Bonham had died. And Queen just absolutely stole the entire show, to use wrestling parlance. And you know, Led Zeppelin's performance was fine, but it was not Queen. And I mean, I think that's
nobody remembers anything else about Live Aid except for the Queen performance.
Right.
Really and truly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, Queen just knocked it so far out of the park, that's all you remember. But really, if you go back and watch those two shows, there are some really good performances by a lot of bands. But Queen,
U2 had a performance.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely. Right? And Zeppelin's performance was really good as well. But yeah, Queen outshone everybody. And I think that's a testament to just how great that they are. There's you know, it's funny, like I wasn't really aware of Bohemian Rhapsody that much until Wayne's World came out. I'd heard it a couple times, but that imagery of them headbanging to that where they transition from the orchestral kind of more melodic, operatic sort of tone to just straight up heavy metal is one of those iconic moments from films and music. But they are a tremendous, magnificent band they are easily one of my favorites as well. I mean, I can't say enough about them. I wish, you know, and I mean, and it's just unfortunate the timing of everything and Freddie's battles with so many different things that took him out so early. But yeah, it's a great call, man. I mean, I knew they were your favorite. You know, they're one of my favorites. They're iconic and tremendous for a reason. I you know,
yeah.
What is if I put you on the spot, like, do you have a favorite Queen song, or is that too hard of a question?
Because I was actually going to ask if how you felt about each of us dropping maybe a lesser known song by the artist we picked that I think everybody should listen, that we think people should listen to. So yes, I'm equipped for that easily. My favorite Queen song of all time is actually going to be my low-key song that I think everybody should listen to. And that is on the News of the World album. It is the very last track on the album, and it is called My Melancholy Blues. And it is Freddie at a piano singing what I can, like, I don't even know. It's just beautiful of him singing this just jazzy blues song that I can't even begin to describe. It's gorgeous, and it's just sort of just tacked there on the end. And so I really think if you want to explore the other reason why I love Queen so much, and people who know me probably would have thought that I was going to say Somebody to Love as my favorite Queen song of all time. It's one I love to sing. I sing it at karaoke all the time. Craig DeMarco himself heard me sing it at Vegas. But My Melancholy Blues, like, my heart grows when I hear it. It's just, it's gorgeous. It's perfect. And like I said, it's just Freddie alone on a piano. And it's this beautiful coda to my favorite album by them. News of the World is my favorite album.
Yeah.
By Queen.
The fact that you would sing Queen in karaoke is testament to you. That's pretty ballsy, man. They're not easy to do. That's for sure. But you're an accomplished singer in your own right. So that's awesome. If I was picking a Queen song that's kind of flying under the radar that I absolutely love, it was in Bohemian Rhapsody, albeit very briefly, but it's Spread Your Wings. I absolutely love that song.
Also on the News of the World album.
Yep, exactly.
Very good song. Yep.
It's a great song. The video, I mean, I love the video. It had to be cold as fuck out there. If you watch the video, they're all wearing, like, you know, back when wearing fur coats was still PC, you know, they're all decked out in that stuff. And it's a great, tremendous song. It's more on Queen's rock side of their radar than some of the other stuff. But I absolutely, absolutely love that song. You can't go wrong with that album. There's too much good stuff on there.
Absolutely. All right. So there you have it, everyone. Patrick O'Dowd's favorite band of all time, Queen. Give a listen to the song Spread Your Wings and My Melancholy Blues. Both terrific, terrific tracks that most people don't really know. We're going to take another quick commercial break here. And when we come back, we will talk about Dave's favorite band of all time. You're listening to Chair Shot Radio on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. Now, before we go to our recorded commercials, it is my duty to remind you that you need to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and check out one of our many chairshot.com t-shirts. We've got everything from the OG Chairshot logo to shirts for the various shows that you listen to each and every week, including Dave and I's own Bandwagon Nerds. Shirts run at about $19.99, or if you're feeling a little fancy, you can spend a few dollars more, get it soft style, and feel all nice and comfy around your giblets. we put out a lot of quality content. We do it daily, three times a day. That is not easy to do. It costs a lot of money. And the best way that you can support us and help us keep giving you that quality content is to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Again, when we come back, David Ungar's favorite band on this week's edition of Musical Chairs. You're listening to Chair Shot Radio on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, we are back. Dave,
yeah.
The mystery wasn't very big around me.
No, and it shouldn't be very big around me either. Anybody who's listened to, in fact, that episode that we were talking about earlier on Bandwagon Nerds knows that my favorite band is Green Day, favorite band of all time. And I mean, this is a band that I remember when they first hit the mainstream, which was, I think, in 93 or 94. And it was Longview was the song that I had heard. And I thought they were a British band because Billy Joe kind of sounded a little bit British, but they are very far not a British band. This is a band who I love these guys because I always kind of dug the more aggressive, faster style of music. Punk rock was always something I kind of was into, but Green Day did something different with punk rock, and they kind of created the concept of almost power punk or punk pop sort of music. And they did it and in a way that hadn't been done before, bringing it mainstream. And I mean, yeah, the Ramones had gotten attention to punk rock, the Sex Pistols as well, but not like what Green Day had done, where it broke through and, you know, you had a punk band at the top of the Billboard charts, appearing on Letterman, appearing on all these shows. But their history to me is fascinating because they started off, you know, playing on Gilman Street up in the Bay Area. And that was a place that they had a standing rule that you couldn't play there if you were signed to a major label. And that was one of the big turning points for Green Day, was when it quickly became apparent, hey, these guys are really good. And they signed to, I think it was Reprise Records, and they put out Dookie, and they couldn't play these small clubs anymore. So half their fan base kind of rejected them, said, you guys are sellouts. And the other half were like, no, they're great, and we're going to stand by them. And then, of course, you know, Dookie went on and just redefined who they were and was their big breakthrough. And then they kind of went into this phase for, like, they were still putting out really good music. Like, Insomniac's a good album. Nimrod's a really good album. Warning's a little bit of a different album in a different way. They were still putting out great music, and lost in all that stuff as they put out Good Riddance, which became a crossover hit and is sung by, you know, God knows how many people at any event that you can get to. But their record sales are really, really lagging. And then they come out with American Idiot in 2004 and reinvent themselves a second time, which is hard to do. I mean, most bands, if they break through once, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. Green Day actually broke through twice. And American Idiot, compared that to Dookie, musically, there's some similarities, but lyrically, the message is completely different because American Idiot is a very politically charged album, and they didn't hold back going after the Bush administration and some of the stuff going on. So I know, Patrick, you probably appreciate that. And, you know, and it was a time where that wasn't looked upon too fondly, but it didn't hurt their record sales and people rallied behind them. And then they became, you know, even more mainstream. And I think that, you know, as far as their talent goes, Billy Joe's a really good songwriter. He's a good, solid guitarist. He's not like on Brian May's level, but he doesn't have to be for what they're doing. And you know, they've got, you know, the fourth member of Green Day who Jason Fries, I think, or I'm not Jason White. I forget what his name is, but he's there as a fourth member. But Mike Dirnt is a very solid bassist. Again, I'm not sure I put him on John Deacon's category. Trey Cool as a drummer, though, doesn't really have to take a backseat to anybody. That is a guy who came in with a lot of energy. He's the comedic relief of the band. When you listen to some of their songs that are just tremendous, and you listen to what Trey's doing on drums, it's really remarkable. But they've been, as far as like making punk music more accessible and mainstream, and redefining what that kind of music is, Green Day is by far and away, I mean, the most influential band in that genre. So I've seen them live 4 times. I've seen them, and one of them was at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, which is a remarkable experience to see a band like that in that stadium. They don't put on a performance Live Aid like Queen did, but they're, you know, you've been to see enough concerts. There's bands who are really good live, and then some who really lose a lot live. Green Day is one of those bands that live, they are really, really, really good. And it sounds very much like the studio album. So I've seen them a bunch of times. They always put on a good show. They've evolved with the times as they've gotten older. They're not kids anymore. They're all in their 40s. But, you know, when you've got a band that's already been inducted in the Hall of Fame and they're still active, that's kind of rare. You don't see that too often. And they are that type of band. You know, I don't know where you put them on your pantheon of great bands or if there's somebody you're into, but I yield the floor to you, my friend.
I mean, I appreciate Green Day. I have the following Green. I have 5 of their albums. So, you know, like not everything. I think everybody in the 90s had Dookie.
Yeah.
Right. Like everybody in the 90s had that CD with the Warhead explosion cloud and all that, like the that draw stuff. I'm not so much of a Green Day fan that I can be like, hey, here's this obscure song that you should really listen to. But you talked about it. You got to really respect a band and an artist and you know, and Billy Joel Armstrong, who not only, you know, you talked about the reinvention. He not only brought punk to the mainstream, but then brought it to theater. Like American Idiot was a Broadway play.
Still is. Still on Broadway.
He appeared in that show for like one show. Like he did like one play of it and got to live out that sort of dream. And so, you know, as artists, you can't argue where they started as a part of punk and are now the elder statesmen of punk. And you know, and are mainstream. Yeah. And so they're less punk than they used to be, but that's okay. In fact, that's what artists do is, you know, people talk about it being for the art. It's also their living. And, you know, Green Day and all these artists have found a way to not only express their art, but be very, very successful doing it and make a lot of money doing it. And yeah, mad respect for Green Day. I'll give my personal like favorite tune when I come around is my personal favorite Green Day tune. It's an easy tune to sing along with. It's a little more mellow. It's a little more relaxed. I get it. Speaking of karaoke, I have done Basket Case on more than one occasion.
That's one thing about Green Day that we should maybe mention that they did really, really well that Queen didn't have an opportunity to do is the music video aspect of things. And Green Day capitalized on, you know, this is the MTV.
I don't know. I Want to Break Free music video is iconic. Yeah, where they're all.
Yeah, you're.
But you're right.
That's true. But I think you know, Queen, Freddie died in what, 91? Was that when he died? And I mean,
right.
MTV had been. Yeah, I mean, it was a big thing. Sure. I think.
Yeah, they have plenty of videos from the 80s.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I would say their most iconic and known one is the I Want to Break Free one with Freddie in drag and not shaving his mustache.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, true. But I think like one of the things that helped Dookie become so successful were the videos for Longview and especially the video for Basket Case, which is, I mean, in the mental asylum with all the crazy people wandering around and those three guys being crazy as well. But that song is, you know, and I used to play guitar. From a guitarist standpoint, that song's kind of hard to play because there's no, he's kind of jumping all over the place with the rhythm track. Basket Case is a tremendous song. I mean, Dookie is just like, and I mean, everybody remembers back in the days when Dookie was out, remember they had the hidden songs on the CDs You know, you would have, it'd be silent for 5 minutes and then, that one, which now digitally, that one,
sorry,
that's okay. Digitally now it, you can, you know, that's just kind of
thinking of you.
Yeah. What were you doing alone in your parents' and your sister's room anyway? But, I, as far as like my favorite Green Day song, I don't know if I can actually answer that. That's hard because I don't know if I can narrow it down to one, but I will say as far as like ones to check out, I love the album Insomniac. Insomniac came out after Dookie did, and, you know, it had an impossible legacy to live up to, similar to 21st Century Breakdown coming out after American Idiot, impossible legacy to live up to. But Insomniac is a really, really solid follow-up to Dookie, and you can see them evolve just a little bit. Songs on there that I really would tell people to check out. 86 is fantastic. Westbound Train or Westbound Sign, excuse me, is another one that was in like the Cars trailer when Cars was first coming out. They use that. But yeah, listen to Insomniac. I think this is the 25th anniversary of the album this year. Go check it out if you haven't, because it is really, really a solid piece of work by Green Day.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and that's going to do it for this week's first go around in the segment, Musical Chairs. Well done, Dave. Quality tunes from our favorite bands to listen to. We're going to head out of here now, but before we go, Dave, tell everybody where to find you on the socials.
You can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAgg, that is at AttitudeAgg, and on Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression.
And you can follow me on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Dave and I are here this morning on Chairshot Radio. You will catch us most every Monday afternoon, just not this Monday afternoon, on Bandwagon Nerds. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this segment. And that's going to do it for your Monday edition of Chairshot Radio on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
Coming to my enclosure, meet my melancholy blues.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.